For 6/27/2012, Riff?
I can't handle the pressure.
I'm Zach.
I'm Riff.
And I'm Kevin.
And we're back at you with another video games hot dog.
Hoo-ah.
Right up in your hot dog hole. Hey, guys, you know what I realized a few minutes ago that I would really like to have?
More RAM in your dick?
I would like to have one toilet in my life that is not all fucked up.
Really?
I mean, once we glued the handle on the one here in the office, it seems.
No, it's reasonable. Fucked up in a totally different way now.
Oh, what's wrong with it now?
I don't know. This shit keeps falling off some other shit.
I mean, noticed.
Is it because your toilet is made out of feces?
Boy, no.
Okay.
Why would you even say something like that?
Well, because you said shit
like,
was falling off of
and
other
it's
shit.
Not funny.
And, like, that's the only thing I could think of.
Okay. No, it's, I don't know, man. And, like, every time I have to reach into the chain keeps falling off the thing now, which is super easy to fix.
Here's a way to fix all this. Dig a hole, start shitting into the hole.
Okay. But, I mean, that's going to be hard. I'm going to have somebody haul the toilet away and break all the floor so that I can get down to it. Because I feel like there's a layer of tile, and then there's probably, what, a layer of... Do you think they put the tile straight on the concrete?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, they don't put, like, some rubber paper down?
And then there's that, like, wax paper tube that goes out to the...
Right. No, I think they replaced that. They replaced that with a more modern paper tube. I think we have an actual corrugated cardboard sewer pipe.
Oh, wow.
You know what I should start doing is, at work, as I do at home, just peeing in the sink all the time and pooping in the shower. I could also put up a sign, employees must pee in sink. Or, you know what, how about this? Employees must use their own goddamn bathroom. That's one that I could put in there.
I mean, I can get behind that one. Yeah. I don't know how Roy and Kevin are going to feel about that.
I've got a window.
Yeah. You could, maybe that'll cut down the stray cat outside your window population.
Or it could attract more cats.
Yeah.
Wait, because cats eat the maggots.
Oh.
Yeah, what's grosser, a cat eating maggots or Kevin shitting maggots? Which is grosser? You don't know. How you guys been?
Okay.
Good, you sure?
Yeah.
You don't need to go to the doctor?
I'm maggot free, so I guess I'm good.
Hey, in fact, I just saw you turn over the day count on that sign that's up at work. Asymmetric Publications, maggot free for 9 days. You're so proud every time you come out of the bathroom. No maggots. That's what tore up the sewer pipe.
My face hurts.
It's killing me. Oh, that was a your dad joke.
Yep.
Do people even ever
how you guys
maggots
been?
Are maggots just living in the meat, and then they come out when the animal dies?
That's a good question.
Hmm.
I'm just kidding. That was a terrible question. Kevin, have you done anything interesting in the last week?
I went and saw Men in Black 3.
Really? I heard that was not at all good. What'd you
really
think?
I mean, it was not like phenomenal, but it was it was fun, you know? Like, I have very low expectations for the Men in Black movies.
Yeah.
So
the quote I heard was the sequel nobody wanted to the sequel nobody wanted.
Well, okay, so Men in Black 2, I remember not being particularly fond of, and so I just sort of ignored the existence of that. And like, this was a pretty good movie where, like, the action sequences are pretty good, and Josh Brolin is amazing, basically.
Josh Brolin is amazing in everything.
Yeah, he's like really, really impressed me a lot lately in the films I've seen him in.
Is he the guy that plays young...
Frankenstein.
Yeah, young Frankenstein.
Young Tommy Lee Jones, yeah.
Like, he plays a young Gilda Radner.
And he just gets it, like, spot on. It's really, really impressive.
Huh.
So, yeah. He was really good. Did you guys see W?
I did not see W.
Huh.
He played Bush in W, and it was... He was just phenomenal in that too. Like he's it's eerie how he can just take on somebody who's still alive. They're like, I don't know, their persona and pull
acting.
It off really, really well.
Acting.
I wonder if he hung out a lot with Tommy Lee Jones in preparation for that, and if that was really weird for Tommy Lee Jones.
I heard an anecdote about the filming of the first Men in Black movie, which was that one of the big challenges that the director had was, and this is in earnest, to get Tommy Lee Jones to stop going pew, 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 when he was shooting his laser guns. Like, they kept having to redo takes because he couldn't stop doing it.
That's great.
They were like, no, man, we can cut the sound out, but you can see your mouth moving. You have to stop doing that. You have to stop doing that, Mr. Lee Jones.
Wow.
That's anyway, great. I don't know if that's true or not. That could be a Christopher Walken for lunch. I was a crocodile sure. story.
So besides that movie, I have put together, I hope, my last piece of IKEA furniture, and I could be done with that for a year and be just fine.
Was it the Omega?
It wasn't. I don't even remember the name of it. There was like a chair, and then there was some sort of like kitchen island type thing, and then I put together some other like dining room chairs. Actually, fuck, I might have to put together
Kitchen
one
Island
more.
Was the worst Leonardo DiCaprio movie.
Yeah.
I really like putting together IKEA furniture. I kind of think being the guy that works at the IKEA store whose job is to put together the furniture to make the installations all day would be a pretty fun job.
I feel like your fingers would hurt a lot.
Mm, yeah.
I don't know, man.
Maybe.
The tools that they provide are not very ergonomic.
Yeah. I bet the guys they that do that like for a living yeah, they have, probably have yeah, something. They have custom yeah. gear. Yeah. yeah.
You know, there's got to be at least one guy putting it together with the tools in the box. He's just like the guy. It's like the ones who walk away from Omelas. He's the guy that has to basically die for everybody else's sins. You know, just proving that you can do it. Yeah. I tend to switch whenever I can to... I have like a ratcheting screwdriver that I've had for mm-hmm. years and years with a big set of every different kind of bit.
Yeah.
So I'll use one of those hex bits. You just ruin your pocket knife and shit.
Well, so I got a ratcheting screwdriver because I literally had so many pieces of IKEA furniture to put together that I needed all the different heads. But there are
remember all the screws we had to put in when we were assembling your bed, and then remember how a couple years later we had to do the exact same thing again. Yeah,
yes, I do.
That was pretty funny.
For
those listeners unfamiliar with the adventures that we've gone through, one of the things I lost in my divorce a few years ago was Kevin's bed.
If only this were a joke, it would be
yeah,
funnier.
No, I know. If it hadn't actually happened, it would be slightly less funny.
Yeah, so but the ratcheting screwdriver has like because it has those bits that like socket into it. The shaft of the screwdriver was actually too large to fit into some of the holes.
Shut your mouth.
Yeah? The shaft was too large.
I can dig it.
Oh, man, you know what Emily just told me? She was like, we got the new stickers in, but the white ones are slightly smaller than the black ones. I'm like, oh. Anyway, we got the new stickers. She's going to be excited about that. Everybody should come see us at Comic-Con, which is coming up in like 2 fucking weeks.
Oh, yeah. God.
It's ridiculous.
What happened, man? We were doing video games hot dog at the last Comic-Con. I remember playing Dragon Fudge Dungeon Dogma, and I've yet to play that now that it's actually out.
Dungeons of Dreadmoor.
That
was a San Diego
thing. Yeah, nostalgia for a year ago.
Huh.
2 years before that, I slammed my thumb in a door real hard, and it hurt for like 3 months.
Was that Was that the same one where you dropped your phone off a second floor balcony and it was fine?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So phone okay, thumb not so okay. That's what happened that year.
Hmm.
Anyway, I went and saw Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter.
Ooh.
Over the weekend. This is pretty good. No, it wasn't very good. It was neither good nor bad. At one point, a vampire. Throws a horse at Abraham Lincoln, and then Abraham Lincoln catches it and rides it after the vampire.
See, that sounds pretty good to me.
Yeah, there's a few moments like that. It's got the girl from Scott Pilgrim as Sweeney Todd.
I saw Brave.
Oh yeah, how was that?
It's pretty good. I wouldn't put it in like the top three Pixar movies, but it's pretty solid in the middle.
What
I think
would
I like
to as the top three Pixar movies.
Top three Pixar movies for me would be Incredibles and Wall-E, not in any known order, and then third place would probably be Ratatouille.
So I think Ratatouille is first,
yeah,
just head and shoulders, and then an additional pair of heads and three more shoulders above the rest. And then, you know, honestly, I could take or leave all of the others.
Hmm. I mean, I like them all. They're all really good.
Oh, except
but...
Cars 2. It's probably terrible. Anyway, man, you know what was awesome, though, was that video that we saw of them doing the sound for a single thing that Woody said that was painstakingly assembled from like 50 different clips of Tom Jones. It was super weird.
Tommy Lee Jones.
I recently heard Adam Carolla complain about going in to do voice work for Pixar. And I was like, I don't think you understand what they do. Because he was like, they made me do the take like 15 different times. Why the fuck couldn't they just pick one that was good and be done with it? And I was like, because you don't understand what their process is, man. Like, they're not going to use just a single take, and they're not going to just take the best one. They're going to assemble it out of all of the different takes that you gave them. They're going to assemble the like absolute perfect take that you could never have delivered.
Yeah, I feel like everyone needs to see that thing that they showed us at Max FunCon. I don't know if that's a thing that exists on YouTube, but it was like...
It was like a PowerPoint presentation of his.
Yeah, but there was a video, you know, as part of it. And just seeing that, it was like, oh, okay. Like, suddenly it makes sense why the stuff that they do is so much better than everything else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? And I mean, that's even like, I'm not like the hugest Pixar fan in the world, but I think like I can acknowledge that the stuff that they do is just sort of more worthy than other stuff. I really want to see that video games movie. I don't even remember what it's called.
Wreck-It Ralph.
Wreck-It Ralph.
Something like that. Yeah, that looks pretty good. They had a preview for that.
Suck It Sally.
Ooh, that's the porn version.
Choke on it, Charlie. What about video games? Riff, you been playing any video games?
Yeah, I've been playing a few video games, more video games than usual. Let's see. The one I played that you haven't played was Resonance. It's a...
Resonance Evil?
Nope, just Resonance. It is a LucasArts-style point-and-click adventure by Wadjet Eye Games, or at least they published it. I don't know if they made it. Because there's another logo in the boot up sequence that I didn't recognize.
It's not just like a video codec or something?
Yeah. Actually, it might be. I have no idea. Anyway, they were published by these guys. They're also the ones that made Gemini Rue, which was also really good. And
what platform is this on?
It is a Windows game, but I've been playing it on Crossover with no problems.
Okay.
I think it's also on Steam. It's pretty good. It's I mean, it's your standard point-and-click fare, except it's they've got four player characters that works much in the same way as Day of the Tentacle
did. One of them runs really fast, one of them has a sword, and one of them can hold his shield up for you to stand on.
Kind of like that, no. And the other thing that is interesting that they do is besides just having an inventory of objects that you're carrying around, you also have a long-term memory, which is an inventory of events that have happened to that character, and then a short-term memory, which is an inventory of like world scenery objects that you have purposely chosen to remember, and then you can use those memories as objects in conversation options. So you can ask a guy about the computer that you saw somewhere else, for example. Yeah. And it works pretty cool. It's really interesting. On the other hand, if you are stuck and don't know what to do, you can no longer just brute force a solution by matching every item in your inventory with every other item, because the list of items
in
your short term is basically every scenery object in the game.
If the possibility space gets that large, then it becomes an exercise in actually solving the situation.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
Way more impetus on the guy who designed the puzzle.
And so far, there hasn't been anything I've run into that has used that unfairly. Although I am kind of stuck at the moment.
See, so, I feel like some sort of a hybrid RPG adventure game where the really obscure stuff just resulted in some sort of optional bonus. Hmm. You know, like you had more balls in combat or something. I'm assuming this is a juggling RPG.
Ooh. But yeah, played that and played way too much of Dungeon Town story.
Dungeon Village?
Dungeon Village story.
You played so much of it that you don't even remember the name of it.
The new Kairosoft. Yeah, the new
Dungeon
Kairosoft
Village. It's not.
Sim.
It's just Dungeon Village. The new Kairosoft joint. It's their first. It's the first Kairosoft game that isn't called something story.
See, yeah, that's what confused me. That was pretty good. I started playing it yesterday at like 6 p.m. I was like, all right, Zach mentioned this. I'll give it a shot. And the next time I looked up, it was friggin' midnight. So there's definitely some interest there, and it's a lot more accessible than their previous Kairosoft games. I feel like all the other ones that
I felt like Mega Mall Story was pretty.
I haven't tried that one, but
well, okay, Game Dev Story was very simple. Hmm. There were a lot fewer levers that you had at your disposal in that one.
Really.
You got to pick whether you wanted to make like
Butt
Quest 2 or Fart Factor 5, the strategy RPG about westerns.
Yeah, but yeah, now that I've gotten into this one and see a little bit more about how these games work, I'll go back and try some of their other crazy ones like Japanese Elementary School or Hot Spring Spa or something.
Yeah, boy, could I not be any less interested in a sim about running a hot spring.
Yeah, that's
spa.
A weird one.
Like, yeah, it's, you know, like hotel, motel management.
Jenny's playing the school one now, and she said that one of the first things that she thought was particularly strange is that the students' scores on their athletics test determines how far they can walk down the hall to get to a room in the school.
What?
Huh. So it's like obese school where you have to put like fudge eating class really close because
that
that's what will make
the
them
school
mad.
Is like 20 miles across or something.
Yeah, okay. But Dungeon Village is like, it's like Sim where you build a little town, mm-hmm. and then you have all these autonomous adventurers that show up in town, and they will...
And they all have funny names like Clown Stripe.
Yeah, there's Clown Stripe, there's Donkey Hottie.
Yeah.
There's a few that are references to things that I don't think that
yeah,
I understand.
There were a few that I didn't get.
There's somebody named Sid Pervia.
Yeah,
I don't get. There's... But they have different jobs, and they have stats, and you can give them gear, or they can go buy gear. When they find, like, a sword in a dungeon, that becomes a sword that your weapon shops can sell. Mm-hmm. Either sell you to give to them, or sell to them.
Yeah. And also, you get the first one free to give away to the guys.
Weird.
Yeah. Some of the things narratively are a little wonky, but then it was like, oh, while we were dicking around outside town, we found Spooky Cave. And then so you can, like, pay a bounty to send adventurers to mm-hmm. Spooky Cave and then find treasures inside there.
Yeah.
So you don't actually find the treasures. You hire other NPCs to do everything for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then there's like a little... I mean, it's like a little sim combat thing where they go in there and they have a fight with dudes and they open treasure chests and then tell you
what
they found.
So here's a question. Like, do you think that there will ever be a point in the future when, like, this will be a system in a larger game where other PCs are coming to a village and looking for quests and, like, looking to buy and sell items that they find... And what they're interacting with, instead of some sort of AI or some sort of just, you know, generic script that the computer's running, is other people playing a sim where they're dealing, like, where they're managing a village.
I feel like there's something along those lines that I heard of that was...
Well, with EVE Online, they're doing that dust,
oh,
that
yeah,
shooter.
There's that thing. But there's also
like the
one
shooter.
I heard of that was like a third-person, like, you could play it as a third-person shooter or you could play it, or first-person shooter, or you could play it as the generals running the war who play it as an RTS. Who,
yeah, I mean, the idea...
Who give out the orders to the guys
playing the
first-person
shooter. That's
kind of
what Natural
shooter.
Selection was like a popular
was that,
Half-Life
maybe that's what I'm
mod
thinking of,
or Half-Life
yeah.
2 mod, maybe, that was like that. I think they're working on a sequel to that, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, that idea is pretty cool, but... It opens up like a lot of really weird, like, you know, if every aspect of your game is other players, then every aspect of your game is so subject to like exploity, dick stabbing behavior, and you know,
or just
like,
being ruined if there's nobody online.
Yeah, well, but I got some stories about things being ruined by nobody online.
Do you remember? Do you remember like playing early RTS games where you'd tell somebody to go somewhere and his pathing would be so terrible that like you'd be super angry? Like, would it be fundamentally different?
Yeah, I mean, I do remember once clicking on Tanya in Command and Conquer Red Alert and telling her to go attack a building, and she was like, "Fuck you." And then went and played. She rode a horse with Barbie instead. I was like, "Oh, I must have assigned Tanya to some little girl in the multiverse."
I mean,
game.
Given the genesis of the Tanya and Kerrigan names, it makes sense that they'd be kind of a pain in the ass to deal with.
Yeah, that's weird, man. Thinking about that, thinking that, like, one of the most beloved characters in this franchise that, like, entire nations have built up as their national pastime, and now, oh yeah, this character was totally a joke about a name that was probably a joke in a different game that nobody even knows about anymore.
Wow, I hadn't even heard about that.
The female heroine, in the, you know, as opposed to the male heroine, in the male Heron in StarCraft 1. you know, Jim Raynor. He was a heron. He didn't know. It was like, you know, genetic engineering.
Right.
Anyway, she was named Kerrigan because in Command & Conquer Red Alert, there was a unit you could hire called Tanya, who was like a super spy.
I did not know that.
The Tanya Harding, Nancy Kerrigan thing is where they decided what her last name was going to be. And I mean, you know, it was a real character. It's not like, oh, get it? It's a joke about, it's about how Tanya Harding and Nancy Kerrigan had that whole thing happen in the 90s. This is not really, but yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know about that. You know, if you were like, you put a bounty on this cave so that your little autonomous dudes would do it, and then their performance is based on whether some asshole wants to finish the game that he started.
I mean,
some other fun. I mean, what
if
he's
done
pooping? You
could tweak that, though. I mean, you could definitely have logic in place for people that just sort of blow stuff off or whatever. But like, would that be an exciting world where there was management at different levels? Like, imagine Spore. Imagine playing Spore, but there are like, you pick one level and that's just the game you're playing, and then there are people at every other level trying to get shit done too.
How is that different than those people just playing their own games autonomously? Can you communicate with them?
I don't know.
Look,
you know,
it's
the
your
idea
Magic
of
Future world that we're talking about, Kevin. So write the fucking rules.
The idea of it is interesting to me without communication, with just, you know, whatever kinds of signposts that you would decide, like one, maybe they're just one way signposts from the higher levels down to the lower levels.
I think, like, every single one of them would say lol butts.
are there any games that you have played where you are told kind of explicitly what you should go do, and then you can do it or ignore it? I mean, I feel like there's a lot of like signposting in video games. Like, here's what we think you should go do. And if they're open worldy enough, you can ignore them. But if they're not open worldy enough, you kind of don't have a lot of choice, right?
It's weird. The quest tracker is telling me to spell iCup, and then it's asking me if I'm a PT.
Yeah.
Yeah. I always assume that it's just going to be like 9-year-olds writing the instructions on these things. What else have you been playing, Riff?
That's pretty much it.
Just Dungeon Village and Rapunzel.
Yes. And, you know, and WoW and Minecraft.
Yeah. And anything exciting happening in WoW and or Minecraft?
Not really. I mean, WoW has the midsummer holiday going on, so I've actually been doing some dungeon findering to kill the holiday boss.
Is that where all the bonfires are?
Yeah.
And you can get, I think I have some shoulders that are flaming.
Like little
from
Dairy Queen braziers.
I was like, oh man, I should do that transmogrification thing, mm-hmm. so that my sweet super dungeon shoulders that I have now look like those Fire Festival shoulders, but you can't because the Fire Festival shoulders are cloth.
That's
and I got to wear mail.
The werewolf starting area, you get a sweet top hat, but unfortunately it is also a cloth item with no stats on it, so you can't use it for transmog.
Mm.
But yeah, I've been getting a little bit too much into the transmogging. I've been going back and like running old heroic dungeons solo to try and get the particular boss drop off of a dude that would look awesome for my outfit.
Is there a way to like sort of try on old outfit pieces that you can use now?
There are websites that will show you like I can click the button on this website that says leather hats, and it will show me every model that exists for a leather hat. And
wow.
Then if I see one that I like, I can click it and it will tell me all the items that use that model with links to Wowhead that will tell you where to get them.
Wow. Huh. Okay. Jesus.
That's pretty cool. I kind of want to do that and go play all the WoW now. I don't really want to play all the WoW now. Although I'm told that now it's gotten to the point where Cataclysm Dungeon Finder is fun, like the fun that I had with Wrath Dungeon Finder, like a year after that rolled, where everybody is just burning through it and I just get to see all the encounters and learn how they work without just constantly getting killed and kicked out of groups and called a
faggot. I want to do that, but I am so socially awkward about the idea of going into a random dungeon and having to say, hey guys, I'm going to need instructions because this is my first time ever being here.
Are you morally opposed to reading up on the fights beforehand?
Well, I mean, I could do that, but
it's not really ever like there is something about being there and seeing the room and having someone who actually knows the fight explaining it to you like you're a child. That really helps. I don't know. My understanding is that that's not a big deal now. So you could just do it. And, you know, if you embarrass yourself, I mean, I've gotten into full on like fucking fights with people in chat.
That's true. And you're never going to see those guys because they play on other servers.
Yeah, you're never going to see them again, right?
Yeah.
I mean, worst they can do is like put you on their cross server ignore list, if that's even a thing. I don't know. I just said that, like, assuming that it would be a thing.
I guess what I could do is because my. I mean, if I were going to do random dungeons, I could not do this because I'd have to read up on every dungeon all at once because I wouldn't know where I was going to do. But I could pick one and read about it and then go do that.
Well, fuck, if you have to tank it, I guess. But you know, you're like DPS. Yeah, so if you're DPS, it doesn't fucking matter. Hmm. Like the people in a mature WoW expansion, the way that they've tended to do them in the past, the people are running heroic dungeons at the level cap just to farm the valor points to buy their gear or whatever, and they could probably three-man them.
That's probably true.
Because they're already geared up so far past it. It's just this is a thing that you can do, and so they do it just for some variety and just to have something to do.
Hmm.
So I actually kind of want to pop in and see all the Cataclysm dungeons that I never got to see.
Yeah.
So I've got two other MMOs to talk about in my What Do You Do plan.
Nice.
But first, Dungeon Village? No, we already talked about that. Penny Arcade. I played the new episode of the Penny Arcade Adventures that came out. I played the first, I don't know, 45 minutes of it or something.
The Precipice of Darkness?
Yeah. You know, I had a bad experience with the second episode of that game. I think we might have talked about this on the podcast before.
Did, yeah.
So I bought the first one, played through it on a kind of a shitty, slow laptop, but still really enjoyed it. I bought the second one. It just didn't work. And I was having the same problem a bunch of other people were having. And apparently it didn't sell well enough for them to even continue to support it. And so it just never got fixed. I tried to go get it again, but I bought it on Greenhouse, which was Penny Arcade's, like, you know, software distribution platform, which is now totally defunct. But I was able to download it. But then when I tried to run it, it was like, what's your license key? And I was like, well, fuck, I don't know anymore. And I can't check it because Greenhouse is down. And I remembered that I had also bought a special edition boxed version of it at a PAX or a Comic-Con or something. And so I pulled that out and I was like, well, fuck, I must have given away the card with my code on it to somebody else since I already owned the game. But then I realized that, in fact, the code was on the back of a keychain and not on any kind of piece of paper or a manual or anything. So I found it and was able to play the first one. But I emailed Greenhouse support just to see what would happen. I'm like, hey, I bought these games. I want to play them again before the third episode comes out, but I lost my keys. What can you do? And then, like, 8 hours later, they just sent me two keys.
Wow, really?
Game. And I don't know if they just verified that I owned it or if they just don't give a fuck. Like, there's some stuff on there that you can just download. like, it was like, hey, do you need to re-download a Steam game that you, or a Greenhouse game that you paid for back in the day? Go ahead. And then there were links, and I was like, huh. And I downloaded a game that I had never bought to run just to see if it would work, and it totally did. I'm like, huh. Well, that's one way to do DRM free, I guess. Yeah, and then I deleted it. I don't even know what it was. I just picked a random game from the list. I picked a game that I had never heard of to see if it would just let me steal a copy of it. And it totally did. But I only got a couple hours into episode one before episode three came out. I thought I had more time. It is definitely a cheaper game.
Episode three is?
Yeah, because it's like a different company. It's made by the guys that made that Cthulhu Saves the World, which I played a little bit of and didn't really get into. But their approach, I never really understood why that game didn't take off. And I wonder if it is because while they have extremely loyal fans, they don't have fans that are all that willing to put their money where their mouths are.
Do you mean maybe why the Penny Arcade games didn't?
Yeah, I just don't understand. I don't understand how those games, which were well-written, they looked really good, they were fun. They were good, well-designed games. And, like, I cannot figure out what made those a failure. Right? I don't think it was, like, a marketing thing, because they are a marketing powerhouse.
No.
Right? I really don't understand what happened with them. But yeah, the third one is a little weaker in terms of, like, you know, art assets and stuff. I mean, it's all
pixel art.
Just pixel art, which is fine. I mean, it's cheaper and it's fine. The RPG experience, even in the first episodes and in this one especially, is super streamlined. This one is a lot more standard JRPG-y, in that the first ones had, like, kind of active time. There was, like, a little mini game associated with each special attack. You know, there's a lot of, like, this needle spinning around, hit it when it's in these four different sections. And the more of them you match, the more damage it will do, or whatever. This is less like that. But there are no random encounters, which is a thing that I fucking love. You never get into a fight except when you on purpose get into a fight, which is, in my mind, the thing that makes Chrono Trigger, like, 1,000 times better than Final Fantasy III.
Yeah.
Or Final Fantasy VI or whatever. Whichever. I'm supposed to know about that. Japan thing. I mean, it's, you know, it's funny. And, I don't know. It's a good game.
I
hope a lot of people buy it.
I really love Taiko's writing style. So, and the overall plot from what I played of the first one seemed cool. I like that sort of, it's kind of got that.
Yeah, it's Lovecrafty.
Lovecrafty and not quite steampunky. I'm not sure what to call that.
Yeah.
With the one character being a bare-knuckled boxer and the other one being an alchemist or whatever he was.
Yeah.
But,
you know, and it's filled with in-jokes from the strip. But, I mean, I've read all of them, so I get a lot of them, I guess. I don't know. I played in the beta weekend of The Secret World.
Oh, how was that?
You know, I liked it a lot.
Cool.
There are a few things.
A fully functional, like, MMO, or is it a browser-based thing? Yeah. What's the sort of platformy kind of?
No, it's fucking 12 gig download.
Wow.
MMO. Yeah.
Okay.
I wish that would stop. I mean, because I am sure that before I got to play that game, I had to download the entire goddamn game's worth of geometry that I was never going to see in this fucking beta weekend where I started at level one. And I really wish that everybody would get their shit together the way that, like, you know, fucking Free Realms had their shit together 4 years ago, where it can just give you the parts of the game that you're likely to need and just let you start playing it. And if you get to a point where it's like, oh, sorry, it's going to take 15 minutes for this area to load, we didn't think you'd get here so fast, that's so much better than having to wait 6 hours for it to download before you can play in the first place.
Yeah.
Man, remember when we tried to play Star Wars Galaxies? That was just me. I tried to play Star Wars Galaxies, and it took like 36 hours to download the client.
I remember in high school having to leave my modem on overnight to start downloading
a single JPEG of a girl with boobs.
Yes. Yeah, I used to do that too. I had the I was using that hotline software. Did you ever use that one?
I did.
I had my brain trained so that I could sleep while hotline was running, and none of the noises that hotline makes would wake me up except the noise that it made when the connection got dropped.
Huh.
So I would automatically wake up and reconnect.
So Secret World is, I think it is the first MMO that I've played that was just set like modern day reality, sort of.
Except it's got societies, right?
Yeah, it's got that kind of unknown armies vibe where there is an occult underground that you're a part of. Like you are a magic man.
So yeah, do you like pick a?
You do. You pick either the Illuminati or the Dragon or the Templars. The Templars worship Gaia.
Huh.
The Illuminati. There's a kind of a ugly girl in charge. I don't know what. I don't think she's supposed to be. I think she's supposed to be a hot girl, but it's just a super weird character model. It's kind of Guild Wars 2-esque in the way that the skills, like there are skills associated with different kinds of weapons. And so you don't really pick a class, you pick a weapon in the tutorial. You can play with all of them. And so I did like Elemental, where you get a little man made out of a USB cable as your weapon. Well, it's like a totem. It's like a magic technology, magic totem. Kind of thing,
but you can never tell which way is up when you're trying to plug it into anything.
Yeah, no, I know, it's weird. It's like, I can't tell if he can see or not. Yeah, yeah, and then that lets you shoot lightning bolts and set dudes on fire. And then I ended up picking up a couple points in blood magic so that I could heal. Also, while I was doing, because I just try in every game to recreate my WoW shaman, because shooting lightning bolts at stuff and then being able to heal yourself in a pinch, and also cast water walk on somebody when they've fallen a really large distance just before they hit the water. but yeah, and then you go to Zombie Island, basically. Let's say you go to King's Mouth, which is all the distances are determined by how wide the King's Mouth is, but that's why Rome is further away when the king has a boner. No, wait. It's closer? I guess Rome would get closer when the king has a boner. Anyway. Yeah, so it was like zombies, right? Like, you go and the starting area is like zombies. And you go and, you know, it's MMO combat. It's very open worldy. It's not like very quest hub. It's like there's dudes, there's, you know, you'll find stuff on the ground that starts quests. It's all pretty signposted, but it's...
So what is it, the standard MMO style quest? Go, you know, go kill 10 zombies and...
There are various kinds. I mean, a lot of them are like, you know, there's a list on the wall in the sheriff's office of all of the people who are missing. And so you go around to all the different spots where they were last seen. And like, sometimes you find their corpse and sometimes you find them. And they're like, I'm okay. I'm just hanging out here at the church. And then sometimes they're a zombie and, you know, you have to, you just, by targeting them, you check off this is what's up. Yeah, it's pretty standard.
Okay.
But, you know, thematically, it's kind of cool. So there are also these...
You say it was set in modern world, but there's clearly magic and stuff. Like, how far do they depart from reality?
Well, there's... The way that you travel around is by going inside the hollow earth where there's a giant tree where all of the branches lead to these portals for fast travel. Huh. So that's... I don't think that's a real thing. If so, I'm fucking going there because fuck airplanes and cars. I want to run real fast on a branch. And then, well, no. This thing only takes you to places that are overrun with zombies. So
okay.
Maybe this is not the travel solution for me.
So Jamaica...
There are there are also investigation missions. There are like all these categories of missions. There's one that's apparently like stealth, like your goal in these, like you fail the mission if you aggro anything.
Huh.
So that's kind of interesting.
That's cool.
There are also investigation missions that are like riddly. They're like you go and there was one where it's like I left the thing in the lockbox in the yard of the church, and you go find it under the rock where they talked about it. And it was like, the code is the first hymn they were planning on singing on Sunday. And then you find the keypad.
Okay.
But then you have to go into the church and notice that there is like a board on the wall with the hymn numbers written on it, or you could just fucking constantly watch other people spoil it in chat.
Tobol was complaining about that.
Yeah, he was.
The problem of having riddles as opposed to puzzles, because riddles only have the one solution.
Although, you know what? I enjoyed that quest. You know, I enjoyed doing that. I enjoyed, like,
I certainly would enjoy doing that after having turned chat off.
There's another one where you go in and it's like, you know, you just have to, like, guess this guy's favorite composer. And there's, like, a series of hints. You have to guess his password. Mm-hmm. But there's a photograph that you can look at. The one thing that I like about it is that there are all sorts of things. Like, there's a part of a quest where you, like, can click on this guy and then you look at his driver's license. And there's just like a scan of a driver's license. And there's like documents that you can look at, and they've reproduced these documents digitally. And there's a bunch of that. Like, there's some of that in World of Warcraft, but not very much. You know, especially not much anymore. I mean, there used to be like a lot of books you could read at least, but there's just a ton of that kind of stuff. And it's, you know, it's...
That's pretty cool. I really enjoy research puzzles.
Yeah. And there seems to be a bunch of that. I said in chat, I was like, man, I wish that there was some way for them to enforce a policy against spoiling these puzzles in the chat. And I got so dogpiled on.
Yeah.
It was nuts. Everybody was like, haha, good luck, faggot. I'm like, ugh, man. It was rough. It was like the amount of hostility that my audacity to suggest that maybe don't just constantly spoil these puzzles in open chat, or like, if you don't like it, just turn off the chat, dipshit. I also got called a dumbass in a Star Wars The Old Republic group yesterday because we were fighting some dudes in a cave, and one of the dudes was an Ugnaught foreman, and I was like, do you think that Ugnaught foreman is the brother of Red Foreman from that 70s show? And one of the other guys in the group was like, no, I don't think that, dumbass. And then that guy was like, oh, I just dinged 50 yesterday. And the other two people in my group were like, congratulations. And I said, I would congratulate you, but you just called me a dumbass. And he said, fair enough. So yeah, I don't know. I was pretty excited about those research puzzles. I mean, you know, they weren't hard. I mean, the first time I ran into one that was super hard. So you can also open a browser. You can open a web browser in the game, and there are fake websites that Funcom has set up for organizations and cities and stuff.
So where, like, are these fake websites in such that you, like, they're accessible on the actual internet?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah, it opens up an actual web browser. And so there is kingsmouth.com, which is the municipal site for this fictional city in the secret world, where you can find out a bunch of stuff about the city.
Is it not Kingsmouth?
Yeah, I'm sure it's Kingsmouth. I don't know. It's Kingsshurster sauce. No, but I mean, it's cool. I really, really like that idea. And yeah. I was like, I was sad. Like, I almost never, Tobold almost never posts anything that makes me sad enough to post a comment. Mm. But I totally did on there. I was like, man, you're always saying that you want innovation in MMOs, and then you're complaining about this feature that most people are maybe not going to like, but you need that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, accessibility is the bane of innovation in these things, right? Like, you know, nothing is accessible until you make something so good that people go to the effort access it. You know, and it's like, I'm not saying that this is great, but I'm saying that it should absolutely be encouraged and not just like shat on because most people are like, fuck it, I'll just look it up on Google. Like, you don't have to look it up on Google, you know?
Yeah.
What sucks is that the autofill search results for Google, when you start to say like, oh, you know, who is the doctor in Kingsmouth, like, to try and find like his page to find out what his favorite composer is or whatever, the auto fill-ins are like Kingsmouth doctor composer password spoiler. It's like, oh, come on,
that's just wanted to
actually find the real thing. And I mean, it's gonna start those searches, there is no way that those searches are gonna continue to yield the actual websites that Funcom has put out once a bunch of fan sites get created. So maybe that's one incentive for the game to fail, so that
maybe
there
what
won't be
they
a lot
need
of fan sites.
maybe they need a fake Google that only indexes their own sites that you can search for that.
Yeah, you think? I mean, it seems like that's a little like you're gonna explore a lot fewer interesting dead ends. I mean, you might actually learn something about the Templar.
True, but on the other hand, you wouldn't see a spoiler.
I also went in and played some Star Wars The Old Republic because the new patch came out yesterday that introduced the group finder. So I was like, I can actually run some group content. So I logged on to my main character and I went to the space station. I went to Orgrimmar Station. I guess it was Stormwind Station. And there were three people there. And I was like, whoa, what?
Wow.
And, you know, there used to be...
I was going to say, how many people normally were there?
I had never seen it below 100 before.
Wow.
At any given point. But then so I was like, wow, what's going on here? And I went and I looked at the forums and I found out that it turns out that server, which was one of the launch servers, is one of the ones that they're merging. Like they've already allowed free transfers off of it to another server. So I transferred all of my characters, all three of them from other servers onto this new, you know, sort of destination server. There were 250 people in fleet there, so there were a lot of people around. But I had to change the names of all of my characters.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah. So I'm no longer the outlaw Rolo Jick. I'm now the outlaw Jolo Jick. but yeah, it sucked. It just changes your name to this random string of consonants, and then it makes you change it when you log in. I'm like, fuck, it is so important to me that my MMO characters have four-letter names that if I come into a server late, it's like there aren't any left.
Yeah.
Because they never let me name it fuck. yeah, anyway, it was fun, I guess. I ran one dungeon and, you know, a couple times somebody was like, sorry, I got to go feed my duck, and disconnected. And then
I'll have to remember that one.
We had to recue. I remember one time when I was running a dungeon in early WoW where Roy came over and I was like, I can't leave. I'm in the middle of this dungeon. And he was like, dude, fuck you. We made plans. We're going. And I'm like, man, I can't. I have an important social obligation to these people in this game. And he was like, dude, tell him you cut your finger or something. And so I just typed, I'm sorry, I have to go. I cut my finger. And I just typed a few random, just like, I was like, my finger's too cut to type anymore.
Cut your finger off would have made more sense.
You could have omitted
letters.
Because those guys probably never finished their Wailing Caverns run or whatever, because I was a prick and I had to go get drunk with Roy. Because he was like making fun of me. Because, you know, not everybody understands. I got to do this. I started this, so I have to finish it because it's going to make people sad. So they're like, no, I got it. My kid's in jail or something, and they just bail.
House is on fire, got to go.
So I finished one dungeon. I got a hat that is exactly like my hat, except slightly more confusing and slightly higher numbers on it. The gear in the Old Republic is kind of a fucking mess.
Really?
Well, so I think what happened was at some point in the beta, they decided, all right, well, the first 10 levels of your Jedi storyline is you getting this super important lightsaber. Right? Mm-hmm. This is going to be your lightsaber. But then, the first time you run a dungeon, it's like, oh man, a new lightsaber that's got plus one more strength than that boring old lightsaber I found in that cave in my super important training montage. So you don't want to get rid of it. So they just made it so every piece of gear in the game is like a vessel for the augmentations that give it all the stats. Right? So like, The gear itself has no stats on it. It just has an appearance, and it has a bunch of sockets for you to fill with an armoring. And like a gun has a hilt, a barrel, and a crystal, right?
I mean, that makes sense for like a lightsaber because they run on that crystal thing that's in it or whatever.
I guess. But what it also does is for your fucking gloves, when you run a dungeon and a new pair of gloves drops, you're like, which is better, the pair of gloves that I'm wearing or the pair of gloves that just dropped here that I have 30 seconds to roll need or greed on?
Yeah.
But what you in fact have to do is compare 9 or 12 or 15 different numbers, mm-hmm. which are the stats that are on all of the individual augmentations in the thing. And then like, hold on, I need to equip these new gloves, but that doesn't mean equip these new gloves. It means take the augmentations out of your old gloves that are higher level than the individual augmentations in your new gloves and put them in there. And don't fuck up. Don't accidentally throw away something that was the only thing that actually made this better since your old need on it, you fucking pig. It's like I get why they didn't want people to piss away their lightsaber that was hard won, but like, mm-hmm. you know what I don't give a fuck about is like Han Solo's gloves, right? Those could just like if Han Solo was in like the space slug's cave of doom and found a pair of gloves, that he was like, oh, sweet gloves. Fuck these old gloves. He doesn't give a fuck. It's like not an important thing. But, I mean, I guess what it does is it makes it so now every fucking female character is running around in a metal bikini because they in this patch, they also made it so the metal bikini, if you're, like, a plate mail wearer, is a plate mail bikini. And if you're a cloth wearer, it's a cloth bikini. So every female character is now Slave Leia, except it's, like, Slave Leia with +5 boobs if you're the character that needs boobs to shoot stuff. God. You know, the female robot from Transor Z. It's +5 boobs. I got 7. I'm the best slave girl ever.
There comes a point where you can have too many boobs, I think.
Yeah, well, too rich or too thin. Anyway, so I got a hat that I guess is better than my hat. It looks just the same, and I moved some augmentations around or whatever, and I think it's got a couple more. It's got a couple more cunnings on it. And then later, there were some boots, I guess, that somebody else won the role on. And then we eventually just gave up because we couldn't beat a boss that had some sort of kind of comprehensible mechanics.
The boss had cut his finger and he had to go home.
Yeah, sorry, I gotta go. Well, half the group left. It's I'm sorry. I'm sad about that game because it should be so good. And there are just a few, I don't know. I mean, if this had come out instead of World of Warcraft when World of Warcraft came out, then this would be the powerhouse.
Yeah.
You know, but it's, everything is a product of its time, I guess. Star Wars: The Old Republic. Okay, I have an exciting piece of news, you guys. That game where it's like Breakout, but with a caveman running around on top of the blocks, and then when you lose, it plays Whiter Shade of Pale. That I talked about, and that you guys kept thinking that it was just some hallucination, but they totally had it at the laundromat. I was doing a little research about our assignment to just try and place it in a sort of historical context in terms of arcade games, and I found it. I found the title screen of this caveman Arkanoid game, and it is called Goindol, Goindol. And I'd like to share with you, there were also a bunch of screenshots of it on this website, and I would like to share with you the ending screen congratulations message from Goindol. Congratulations! You fighted very well. Though Goindol is defeated in this game, while coming here, I am acquainted with you. I will not forget you forever. This is pretty good Goindol. I never beat Goindol to see that message. Apparently, what happens is that the caveman is reunited with his dinosaur friends because above that text, there's a caveman standing between two dinosaurs.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
That's a story for the ages.
Yeah. They're buddies.
For the Stone Ages.
All right. What have you been playing, Kevin?
I have not had a ton of time to play, so I have mostly been playing iPhone games. Like when I'm
because you always have time to poop,
exactly in bed or on the toilet or whatever.
Your recommendation, always have time to poop either in bed or on the toilet.
Well, I mean, yeah, right. Like it's easier.
Did you dig
in
a
bed.
Hole in your bed so that you can just poop whenever?
We've talked about this, and I think it's a good idea. Because if you're laying on your stomach, you could just pee into the hole.
Yeah, I mean, Adam Carolla always talked about the urinal trench at dick level in the bed. So because A, you'd be able to lie on your stomach with morning wood,
right,
which would be more comfortable.
Yep.
And B, you could just pee.
Yep.
Without getting out of bed, which I mean you can kind of do that anyway. I have a humidifier next to my bed, and so I just pee into the humidifier. So then It's like dual purpose.
Great.
Have you noticed that your eyes are stinging a little bit here and there?
Yeah.
A little bit.
Does everything in your life smell like urine?
No.
I guess you'd get used to that.
Based on your recommendation, Zach, I picked up that War Games Whopper thing, which is effectively
the
like
the promotional War Games burger at Burger King.
So, I mean, like, you say promotional, but, like, are they, like, reissuing War Games or something? Like, what does that even mean? It's licensed. It's licensed by the War Games property for sure.
I don't know. I mean, that kind of thing happens.
Is
like, you know,
Blu-ray
they
coming out or
they
something?
They licensed Back to the Future and Jurassic Park to Telltale without there really being anything going on with those, right? I mean, maybe sure. There was something going on with those, but nothing anybody cares about.
But it's basically like a Dungeon Raid clone, and I didn't have high hopes because I was like, it seems like it's repetitive to like take some other games' base functionality and just sort of like plop some other IP in there, but it is a lot of fun. It is great, actually.
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah,
it's better. I think it's better than Dungeon Raid.
Yeah, it's definitely less convoluted than the like upgrade system in Dungeon Raid. And
yeah,
like,
sorry. I mean, in basic gameplay, it is identical to Gungeon Raid, but in Gungeon Raid, you have to match all the Jar Jars. But the metagame is way more straightforward.
Yeah. I really appreciated the like leveling up kind of thing that you had to do. Although you had talked about how you can kind of screw yourself by leveling up some things too quickly or too early, where like because it makes things more powerful, but it makes them also cost more resources.
Yeah,
and that can definitely be dangerous. So I basically just leveled up all my passive skills.
I figured that that's what you would do. I almost warned you, but then I was like, you know, I don't need to warn him about this. Like, when he is presented with 10 options, he is not going to choose until he understands them, and I know he's going to figure this out.
Yeah, I saved up a lot of my like upgrade points for a while to see what was going to happen.
Did you beat it? You eventually get a passive that lets you earn more kilobytes between rounds.
It says more credits. Which I did not actually take to mean RAM, which is the like
it
upgrade.
It does. That's what it does, though.
Is it okay? I haven't used that.
It pops up a thing when the level ends. It does a little float text that's like plus 55K.
Okay. All right. I tried that once and didn't notice any difference, and then have just switched back to the stuff that makes it easier to win. Fights. I beat the narrative story, and now I'm going back and beating every level on hard. And because you know, you continue to earn sort of that upgrade currency.
Yep.
So, it's neat. It's clever. I kind of like getting to the end of the narrative arc. The game kind of really ends, and I kind of wish there was more. If they'd come up with some sort of like continually more challenging encounter. Like just randomly generated kind of stuff. I think that would have been fine.
Yeah, I would enjoy more to do with it also. But I mean, you know, I just played through until I beat everything on super hard or whatever, and you know, it was fun. But I do wish. I mean, that's the thing with Dungeon Raid. I could still play it and have a 1% chance of making some progress. but right. with this, I just can't.
Yeah. So that was that's like the one failing is like once you sort of complete their story version, it's kind of done, which was you know, I feel like that's fine for a lot of casual players, but like when you sort of get into it, you're kind of disappointed. But they did. It was a really good. It was like a really. The tie-ins to the movie were a little hokey in general, but
yeah, but not game, so bad that you not so bad that you were like fuck you, Matthew Broderick.
Right.
I mean, look at that face. You can't stay mad at him unless he like has sex with the student council president or whatever.
Right.
I don't.
On election.
Yeah. And then when he tries to heist that tower, he's less sexy right. then. Sexy. Like I say, you can't be mad at Matthew Broderick because he's so sexy is apparently my thesis.
The one out of every 8 levels is like a weird mini game where they replace all the normal icons with poker. Like card suit icons.
Yeah.
Which they try to explain in the narrative, but it's just like trying to give you some more variety. It's weird.
I found all of those to be just trivial.
Yeah, comparatively. Because the game actually got pretty hard. The final boss took me several tries to beat.
Yeah, so. It was less challenging playing it on hard mode, actually, because really? I had devised a strategy and leveled everything up and was like, this is what I'm doing. And it was like, you know, it was like I was using all five tactics every round.
Really?
Yeah. How because so many of them work? So many of them become cash positive with the right passives.
Really?
Yeah, you get the one that gives you money when your health is full for collecting health, and so then the collect all health just becomes clear out a bunch of the board and get a positive amount of money.
Oh. Huh.
And then the one that lets you collect all the radars makes it so every other round you can use one of the tactics, which is either get some money, do a bunch of damage if you're close to beating him, do a bunch of damage to his tiles if you need to, but you almost never do, or get a bunch of health, which is just like getting money only multiplied by 1.5.
Oh, geez. Huh.
That multiplier. And then the one that uses all the missiles, which you just do the, like, whichever thing you have the most of, you just use the tactic that collects all of those, and then it just increases the number of all of the others that you have, right? Because it just sort of keeps redrawing to your advantage.
Exactly all the powers that I did not level up. I did all the other ones.
Huh.
So.
Well, I didn't level them up either. I'm using all of the level 1 versions of them.
Oh, really?
But you're saying the passives are the ones that you didn't level up.
I'd leveled up some of those passives, like the power. I guess so you didn't level up any of the powers themselves. Interesting.
I accidentally leveled up the one that collects all the missiles once because I wasn't paying attention to what I was gonna do. And every time I saw that too, I was like, "Fuck you, Zach!" In the past,
really? Huh?
Yep. It slightly more expensive. I leveled up. I did keep the one that just the direct damage to the enemy because that just made me win faster, and I didn't.
Right.
I had a free slot all the time.
Interesting. I should give that strategy a try because I've just been trying to play more strategically, and it's sometimes I actually lose. So.
Yeah, I'll show you. I mean, I beat the end boss on hard mode on the first try.
Oh wow! Okay.
Yeah, I'll pop it up when you get back in town, and I'll show you a game of it. It's a good game. Okay. War Games Whopper. Anybody who has an iPhone, it's it's probably 3 hours worth of fun.
Yeah, I mean, and I played it over the course of an entire week, and in 15-minute chunks. It's very easy to pick up and put down, like a very nice casual game. And in that same oeuvre is that Move the Box game. I'm continuing to play through those new levels, and they did pretty good in making them, continuing to make them harder and harder. I've definitely been stuck on several of them for quite a while.
Ah, fuck, I tried to play that Fusio game. Did you download that, Kevin?
Doesn't it get baffling?
It's so hard after, like, so many of the easy levels are just like, fuck, I don't know, and I skip them. It is crazy. It is.
How do you spell that again?
Fusio, right? Yeah. I think it's free, right? Is it? There's like a puzzle pack that you can download if you are smart enough to beat the tutorial.
That was about as far as I got.
Yeah. All right. Well, so that's apparently what we've been playing. Hey, Kevin. What's in the news?
That is an excellent question. So Mojang, the makers of Minecraft, or the publishers, I guess, of Minecraft at this point, released a trailer for Scrolls, which I'd heard a little bit about it, but I had not actually seen any of their like sort of gameplay footage if they have any out in the world. So it's like a deck-based game where you put pieces on a board and are trying to defeat stuff at the other person's into their board or something.
It kind of looked like a two-player Plants vs. Zombies kind of,
with a card, like with the card deck building kind of stuff involved. I'm curious how that's going to play out. I don't know. Like the computerized deck building games that I've seen and played in the past have been interesting, but never really held my like attention for a very long time. Mm. So I'm curious whether
play the shit out of an iPad Thunderstone.
Hmm.
Potentially. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, I don't know. Did you get the sense whether Scrolls was going to have like a collectible card element, or whether all cards are available all the time, or like how do you think?
When he was initially describing it, I got the sense that it was going to have a collectible element, but who knows? I mean, that was also true of Sanity Aiken's artifact.
Wow, right? What?
Which, did you ever? No, nobody ever played Sanity Aiken's Artifact. It was a game where Ice-T voiced the main character, and during one of the missions where you have to go like confront a dude, and he says, "Oh yeah, that fruity egocentric magician." It's the most awkward phrase that Ice-T has ever uttered.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was just a video game, and you had all these spells and stuff, but you could also buy decks of other spells, which probably would have been interesting in the PvP context that never took off. It was like an early DLC experiment. But, yeah, that's my sense of Scrolls, is that you're supposed to buy shit. You're supposed to give them a bunch of money. I want Minecraft that you pay them $1 and maybe you get a new element. Like that new element they discovered in that meteorite. That's in the news.
I didn't hear about that.
Really?
It wasn't a new element. It was like a new metal.
Huh.
Really?
Yeah, it was like some meteorite that landed in the 60s or something. That they just
Somebody's
got
to make a sword out of that then.
I know. I don't know enough about this to actually talk about it. It's not on our list of news. It's just a thing that I thought about and a convenient segue. What else, Kevin?
We talked about Rainslick Precipice of Darkness being out, which was in my little list of news items. Valve, I think this might have been today or yesterday, released their Source Filmmaker tool, which is apparently the tool that they use in-house to make all of their videos. And I think they're just releasing it to the public to like let people make Machinima or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
Which sounds interesting. I wonder. I don't know how flexible that is compared to what people are already doing. But you know, that's awesome of them to just let release it. So, and then in sort of non-game news, but sort of cool techie news, these scientists used. So I guess fiber optic transmission of information has been limited because they basically would have two planes of polarized light sort of at perpendicular angles to each other transmitting down the wire. And they figured out a way to rotationally couple light beams so that they're sort of twisting in like out of phase with each other. So they like drastically increase the amount of potential data that can be pumped through like fiber optic channels. At least in a lab right now, but through
existing, like, is this a tech that can take advantage of existing fiber optic cables?
That I don't know. Like, there, it's still very much in the lab. I don't know like what the time frame is for like getting this out to like to market, but it is. It's like a pretty serious. I think what it was like 2.5 terabits of data per second. Was being transmitted across these like cords in the lab, I'm curious what that will mean.
I wonder how fast you could have BBS those boobs.
Exactly. I mean, like, I wonder if there will come a point when people will have fiber to their houses and bandwidth is just not a question anymore.
Yeah.
Or whether we'll continue to make software packages that are so ridiculously huge that it will scale with the amount of bandwidth that's available.
Or the ISPs will introduce artificial scarcity so that they can continue to charge us out the ass for it.
That's true.
Well, I mean, I think that, though, like, an image can only get to a certain resolution before there is no advantage in increasing the resolution.
Well,
right? So
you say that, but then there's, like, that relatively new camera that came out. It's hard to call it a camera exactly. It's the light field camera. Do you know about this? I forget what the
have you heard about this? Have you seen this? Have you heard about this? Oh, the thing that takes every bit of visual data so you can reconstruct an arbitrary number of pictures out of a given sampling or something.
It's weird. Oh, like the Blade Runner thing where you can actually tell it to rotate the objects in the photograph for you?
You're not rotating them. You can change what is in focus in the picture.
Yeah. It just flat out sees everything and doesn't need a focal plane. You can adjust the focal plane after the fact.
Oh, that's pretty awesome.
Sure. So I mean that
What I have not yet seen any images from it that are interesting to me, honestly. Like, I'm sure somebody will find a way to like make it interesting, but like nothing has come to light that like made it actually worth bothering with right now in my head.
Well, but why wouldn't, I mean, if it was the same price as a current SLR, wouldn't you?
Well, I mean, the resolution is really low compared to a standard SLR right now, at least. And also, pictures are in a proprietary format. You have to display them with like that company's viewer, because it's not when you view them, you can change the depth of field. It's not like you set it and then publish it.
Right.
So it's a weird, it's not flash, but it kind of has like a feeling of like a flash viewer of images or whatever. And then you just pick an object in the frame and it like will focus on that. It'll like change the plane of focus to be on that object.
Well, it'll either come into its own in terms of there being an application for it that people care about, or it will just turn out to be another tech dead end, right?
Yeah. I'm kind of curious what will happen with that. But
it is a little weird. Like, there's this whole the prominent scientist Malcolm Gladwell talks about the tendency to like sort of consume risk, right? Where airplanes are way, way, way safer than they were in the 60s, but approximately the same number of people die in plane crashes because it's safer, so they cram more flights into the same amount of time, right? And they lower the old safety thresholds, you know, like they raise speed limits because auto fatalities are down because of seatbelts until the fatalities are at about the same level.
Like, the question is like we have sort of artificially determined a level of mortality that we're willing to accept for any given technology, and we keep adjusting.
Well, I mean, I think the actuarial data bears that out. I mean, I don't know if anybody's arguing that that's a thing that happens consciously. Right. But I think with data, it is certainly a thing. Like, you know, we didn't have like MP3s were like a weird novelty until 60 megs an album weren't a big deal, and then they're everywhere, you know. Yeah. And then like streaming video was a novelty until everybody had broadband,
right?
And sure. And I mean, I think we will probably find ways to use bandwidth up to a certain point, but like I think at some point, I mean, there isn't really a limit. A theoretical limit on the amount of bandwidth that you could have, right? Because whatever cable you've got coming into your house, you could just get two of them. but in terms of like, I mean, I feel like there maybe is a theoretical limit on sound quality, for instance, right?
Yeah, like, I mean, there's some theoretical limit on like, you know, acuity of vision, right? And like sound quality, we seem to feel like there's a limit, although it's really hard to, it's harder to measure than,
you know, I can't tell the difference between 128K MP3 and a CD. There are a lot of assholes who pretend that they can, and maybe there are a handful of dudes who actually can.
Yeah, I wonder if that's been tested scientifically anywhere.
I mean, what has certainly been tested scientifically is, do these solid gold monster cables sound better than dime store cables?
Does painting the edges of your CDs make them sound?
And no, they don't, right? I mean, not that they can prove. So yeah, I don't know. I mean, there is obviously some loss of data in that kind of MP3 compression, but it's like not, it is obviously not important enough that the overwhelming majority of people even understand what's going on.
Right.
Cool. A lot of data.
Yeah.
Coming at your holes.
Oh yeah.
All your holes.
All those data holes.
Sweet news, bro. So this assignment, Rastan.
Ooh.
Riff, this was your idea, and yeah. I approved because I loved it.
I feel like my nostalgia betrayed me, because this is a game I remember as being awesome, but I did not feel that way playing it again.
You know, I remember it being awesome. I used to play the shit out of it at Pizza Hut, and I never got to the second level. And the first level is awesome.
I feel like I want to betray you, Riff, because I feel like you did not get to the part that was driving me crazy.
Man, when yeah, you I'm through. Sorry. I tried. I just could not beat that round one boss. And the fact that you got to the round three boss baffles me.
That's where we both got. Kevin and I both got stuck and gave up in the same place.
Jesus.
After spending, I'm sure Kevin spent more time trying to beat it than I did, but we both spent a bunch of time trying to beat that fucking level three wizard boss.
I watched
a video. You should look at the video that I posted in the Video Games Hot Dog forums, because it is a guy fucking beating the entire game without getting hit.
What?
Yeah.
How does he beat
I don't know if it's
how does he beat that
assisted?
Boss? Yeah, are there seven rounds, or is that was that boss assisted. The final boss?
No, there are six. That
oh
was,
my God.
That boss was the halfway point.
What the fuck?
The rest of them don't seem nearly as hard as that one.
Hmm.
The end boss took 3 hits with the axe to kill.
Jesus.
In this video.
I think if
That's
I had the flaming if I'd had the flaming sword when I got to the magician boss, that I might have had a chance, but without that, I don't know what you do.
This guy, I think that you start every level with the regular sword.
Yeah,
although no, the guy did beat the end boss with the axe, but I don't remember him having anything other than the normal sword in any other boss fight.
The flaming sword was my favorite weapon, because like shooting fireballs.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
Rocked.
Yeah, I made a list of the things that I thought were really cool about this game, especially considering, well, so I learned a couple things. One, I learned that this game came out a year before Narc.
Whoa.
Which, that seems really surprising to me, because if you had said how many years passed between Rastan and Narc, I would have said five or six. Yeah. Because Narc just seems like such a sort of a more modern game, but it's just totally, it was just like 1 year.
Huh.
This came out the same year as like Ghouls and Ghosts, or maybe Ghouls and Ghosts came out a year later. But a couple years earlier was Mappy, for instance, right? So, and this was 4 years after Pac-Man. So, in its time, this game had a lot of really cool shit going on. Here's my list. It had, to my way of thinking, a comparatively large number of actions that you could perform, right? There was jump. You could control yourself while you were jumping, which was not always a thing that you could do. True. It had extra high jump if you held up, which was sort of undocumented, but required in some places. You could attack high, attack low when you were standing. You could attack upwards. Mm. You could attack downwards while you were jumping.
Yeah.
And you could swing on a rope.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
The jumping felt really clunky to me.
Yeah, the movement felt really clunky. Like, you would start moving, and it was like slow, 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 fast, 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 fast. Like, there was a weird acceleration curve on the way that you moved around, which felt a little awkward. But, man, you watch this YouTube video, and it's like, damn, this guy's good at Rastan. you can go backwards, which is not a thing that was always true.
Wait, it doesn't, like, I felt like the game would let you go backwards a little bit and then stop, like, lock you out.
Oh, well, maybe, I don't know. I mean,
it never occurred to me to try.
My impression was that you could, and as I was watching this video, I was like, yep, you can totally go backwards. There were branching paths through the level, which I thought was pretty neat. There were a lot of, like, there were a lot of sort of, what could have been, they weren't, but they could have been interesting trade-offs in terms of, like, do this more challenging path for this power-up. The only power-ups that were in the world were the weapons. The others were just, like, drops from the enemies.
Some of them put icons on you, though. Did any of those actually do anything?
Yeah, they all did. One of them doubles the number of points that you get from jewels. Mm. And I was looking at that, and I was thinking, I don't think there's a time limit in this game. And so you could
probably get the power-ups went away after a while.
You could probably get the what went away?
The power-ups.
Yeah, they did. All of them did. But you could probably get away with getting the high score on this game just by standing in the opening screen, just killing all the lizard man.
Yeah, killing lizard man.
Came at you and picking up those jewels.
Did the monsters not get tougher if you just stayed in a screen?
I don't know.
I did notice if you started taking a long time in that castle, you started getting swarmed by those fucking bats.
Sets of six bats that came at you. Yeah, that might be a thing. That definitely happened to the guy in this video at times when it didn't happen to me. And that's another thing. It seems like there was procedural placement of the enemies. Because almost every time when you go to that waterfall, there are like two dudes jumping from rock to rock in front of you, but sometimes they're not there. And when you start, because of the shitty checkpointing, as you're playing through an area 30 times in a row because you kept getting killed, it was just different sets of enemies.
And it varied quite a bit.
Yeah, and I don't think that it was like super sophisticated, but the fact that it was variable at all is interesting to me.
The same monsters always seem to drop the same things for me, but the monsters would appear in slightly different orders.
Yeah, those Valkyries were the only thing I ever got a shield from, I think. And those were like, it tells you, if you watch the attract mode, it tells you what the power-ups do.
Oh.
Except for that rod, the like scepter thing, which just says ?, which means that lasts until the end of a party. But some of them, like, you know, there's a thing that doubles the points that you get for picking stuff up. There's the shield, the mantle, and the armor get, I think they obviate 25, 50, and 100% of the damage that you take, respectively. The blue potions give you health. The red potions are poison and take away health.
Which oh, really? Is kind
of a dick move. Yeah.
Huh. That's what it says. I never noticed that.
I never noticed it either. And to the point where I don't know that I found it to be true with any reliability.
It probably just didn't take very much, because I noticed that the blue potions were healing me, but barely, so little that it hardly mattered.
It was interesting that you did not, as far as I could tell, take damage from touching an enemy. You were only able to be hurt by their attacks,
right?
Which was nice. The environments were super pretty.
Sure. Yeah.
Like, I really liked the graphics of this game.
Yeah.
Everything looked pretty cool. Yeah. The animations were really fluid. Mm-hmm. Like, it did not feel as good to play as it looked, but it looked pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, man. The weapon trade-off was interesting, too, because it was like regular sword or axe, which does twice as much damage as your sword, or I guess four times as much if you're jumping. So the thing, like,
oh, really?
Jumping and swinging your sword did twice as much damage as swinging your sword. Hmm. Oh, that was the other
that
one
would
of
explain,
the power-ups makes you swing
that would
your
explain
sword
some
faster.
Things I noticed. Like, every now and then I would kill an enemy way faster than I had expected to, and I was like, well, why is that happening?
Yeah, like those gargoyles, I think, took multiple hits. Yeah. Unless you were jumping.
Huh.
And you almost always were, but sometimes you weren't, and you were like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
So the axe did more damage. The Morningstar did less damage than the axe, but had a much higher range.
Yeah.
And the Flaming Sword was so much better than everything else that there was never any reason not to take it if you could.
Yeah.
Why did weapons disappear? Like, was it just a time limit thing, or a certain number of swings with it or something?
I think it was just a time limit.
Okay.
But I don't know. I tried to glean it from watching this playthrough, but I couldn't. I was like, oh, any minute now, that sword's going to stop being on fire. I remember as a kid playing the game, and it's like, oh, my sword stopped being on fire. It might have had something to do with getting hit, I guess.
Yeah, I have no idea.
There seemed to be like a second meter above your life meter.
Yeah, but it always just kind of...
And that I never noticed it to like become a boss health meter or something. Maybe it was supposed to be a timer. I like that your life meter had the beating heart at the end of it. That's the first time I remember seeing that.
Yeah.
You know what's weird? If you look at a video of the second game in this series, which... So this is another weird thing. When I was a kid, they had Nastar Warrior at Walmart for a while, which was the sequel... Walmart, the sequel to Rastan. but one of the guns in the monitor was broken, and so... It might have been the case that two of the guns in the monitor were broken, because I thought of Nastar Warrior as a game that was in green monochrome.
Wow.
And it's totally not. It just was every time I ever played it because of the broke dick ass arcade cabinet that I had exposure to. But watching it now, the animations in it and the sprites, the visual design of the enemies is pretty good, but it looks like ass. It looks like a game that is 5 years older than Rastan, even though it's the sequel to Rastan. It seems like they you know, the gameplay is a little bit more... There's more weapons, I think, and more kinds of power-ups, but
the idea of having nostalgia for not just a particular game, but a p- particular instantiation of a game because of some defect in the presentation is fascinating.
Yeah, well, I don't know that I have a lot of nostalgia for that. It's just a thing.
Sure.
That
idea is kind of awesome. Like, here's this thing that I loved from my childhood, and I loved it because it was broken in some, like, really serious way.
Yeah. In a way, I mean, it's odd for an arcade machine to be broken in a way that doesn't significantly interfere with your ability to play it.
Yeah.
Right. And so that's a specific thing. Yeah, I don't know, man. I wonder how many people ever made it to the third boss on Rastan in the arcade. Because I feel like that was almost in the days when you didn't necessarily keep feeding quarters into a machine to try to beat it.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it was like that.
I mean, man.
What games did you actually put quarters in until you beat?
I don't think I ever... Well, I mean, I never had enough money to blow it all entirely on beating a game. I would put a lot of quarters into Xenophobe. If I had had the spare quarters to try and get all the way to the end of it, that would have been the one that I would have done, probably.
Right. Every once in a while, if my dad would get into an arcade game, we would play it significantly. So we beat Operation Wolf in the arcade and Operation Thunderbolt, the sequel to Operation Wolf. You know what's weird?
I think I beat Heavy Barrel once.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just realized that the four games that I've played all the way through in the arcade were all light gun games.
Huh.
Operation Wolf, Operation Thunderbolt, the Terminator 2 game.
I was just supposed to say the Terminator 2 game was pretty great.
So great. That game was so awesome.
Yeah.
And then, like a couple years ago, I beat that Alien game.
Area 51?
No, the Aliens. Aliens licensed one.
I really enjoyed Area 51. I put a lot of money into that one. I never beat it myself, but I saw somebody beat it.
Aliens what is, Infestation?
What is the name of that game where you're, like, exploring tombs and...
House of the Dead?
Maybe, yeah, it might have been House of the Dead.
Yeah, you know what? I've also beaten numerous House of the Dead games. Hey, yeah. The only games that I will play all the way to completion in the arcade are fucking light gun games. What is that about? What is that?
Well, I mean, is this something you're doing more recently? Because recently, light gun games are more prevalent.
But I mean, this is throughout history. Like Gatlinburg, Tennessee, 1989, Operation Wolf played to completion in an arcade. My dad sending me scampering off to the change machine with another $10 bill to get quarters before he got killed because we fucked around and ran out of quarters sitting on top of the cabinet. Like,
awesome.
Yeah. And then we'd go ride go-karts. Yeah. So that was Rastan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anybody else have anything else to say about Rastan? I do not feel that this harmed my nostalgia for that game at all. The music is good. The
music was good, I will say. Yeah. It was presented very nicely. I just felt it was designed meanly.
The boss fights.
God,
two things. The checkpointing in the indoor levels was fucking horrible.
Yeah.
And I, like... What it kind of looked like was maybe it wasn't supposed to be horrible, but the checkpointing was done entirely by horizontal position.
Oh.
Right, because whenever you got killed in one of the interior levels, the screen would flicker to the top of the level and then place you all the way down at the bottom of it.
Huh.
And I wonder if they didn't mean for those to be like that, but it was just a restriction of the way that it worked. Because, like, the outdoor levels, you could continue from not too far back if you got killed, but the fucking interior ones almost always started you at the beginning.
Can we talk for a second about how fucking difficult this was for some of us to actually get to play?
Yeah, you know, that's a weird thing. I am actually hoping that one of our... This kind of continues from our ranting about Linux assholes in the KOL podcast from today, and also about George Lucas and how we are also assholes.
Yep.
So yeah, any video games hot dog listeners who don't listen to the KOL podcast, the first 20 minutes of today's KOL podcast might be of interest to you because we're not talking about that stupid game, KOL. So the way that I played Rastan was by downloading two different versions of a Rastan ROM and two different versions of MAME until I figured out which pair of those things was going to be compatible. The only way that I got it running was with a really old ROM and a really old copy of MAME. And I don't understand what the fuck happened.
I found a website that like had like the pointers to the SDK or whatever new the framework thing is that the newest MAME works on, and I was able to get that going and found like .146 or whatever the newest one is, and then found a version .145 of the ROM, which was apparently still close enough to run, and then sent that information to Kevin, and it didn't work for him.
Yeah, it didn't. I had to go back to find a 2010 version of MAME to play. And
So one thing that's weird is that because this all exists in like a weird legal gray area, it's like trying to download porn or like software to record a Skype call for some reason. Right. Anything that you want, like there are lots of software solutions to record a Skype call, like maybe extracting data from an iPhone backup. Was another thing where it's like, oh, I guess I will go download this from one of those sites where there are 40 ads pretending to be download buttons that are actually just going to download malware. And that's where all of this is. But, like, what the fuck happened to MAME?
Yeah.
Like, I remember playing Rastan on an emulator, like, 14 years ago. So why the fuck did it stop working? It seems like something happened where they changed all the ROMs, or it got to the point where all of the ROMs now have a version history, which, no, they fucking don't. They're from 1987. They're not changing. They haven't changed.
Well, they shouldn't be.
And they're not changing.
But apparently,
like,
they are.
What is going on with this?
As far as the limited amount, admittedly, that I read about it, they're apparently making like adjustments and tweaks optimizations that are game specific, and instead of loading up the application with all these single game optimizations, they're putting them in the specific ROMs.
And you'd think that they might err on the side of backwards compatibility.
Yeah, exactly. Plus,
who've already written, because what is that ROM anymore? It's no longer a thing that you can pull off the EPROMs if you own the board.
Yeah.
Right? So,
I have no idea.
I'm guessing that someone in our audience understands what the fuck has happened to MAME in the 10 years that it's been since I really paid a lot of attention to MAME last time, but I thought that this would be trivial to find, and it turned out to be a clusterfuck.
It was a
minor clusterfuck, as clusterfucks go, but like it still was not, it was harder to do it now than it was 12 years ago.
Yeah,
and I want to know why that is.
That is an excellent question.
Especially for me and Kevin, that apparently the Mac versions have not been supported
I mean, is MAME open source? I think MAME is open source, right? Like, you'd think that somebody would care.
I think it is.
Yeah. All right, so we have decided to just finally break down and do this. Next week's assignment is The Binding of Isaac.
Woo!
Because that's a thing that we can talk about for a really long time, even without Riff and I spending a bunch of time playing it in between now and then, and we got a bunch of work to do.
Here's a question. Are we gonna define a particular... like, with all the expansions as well, or...?
I can only play it... there's only one expansion, and I can only play it with that expansion, so yes.
Yeah.
I mean, okay. I would be interested, actually, Kevin, in your experience of playing 100 hours of it without installing the expansion, and then 100 more hours of it after installing the expansion.
I wish I had 200 hours to play video games between now and the next time we record...
You should
awesome.
Just take that Robert Heinlein drug where you're dead and then you have infinite time.
Okay. I'll get me some of that on All Amazon. Right.
All right, so The Binding of Isaac, sweet assignment, bros.
All right.
Hey, Kevin, we don't have time for any listeners' mail this time because our what have you been playing and assignment sections were so long and interesting and cool. So if somebody wanted to send us some listeners' mail for next show, we got a bunch, but what if they wanted to send us some more, Kevin? How would they do that? How would they do it? How would they do it, buddy? How?
Well, okay, they could send it by carrier pigeon. They could tie it to the collar of a dog and release it and hope that it gets to us. But if they wanted a more reliable way, I would recommend tweeting at us via @VGHotDog. They could email us, VGHotDog@gmail.com. They could check our forums, accessible via link on videogameshotdog.com. Or they could come see us in person at Comic-Con in like 2 weeks.
Yeah, we'll be at the Video Games Hot Dog booth.
Yeah, do you know what the booth number is?
So we will be at the Kingdom of Loathing booth, which is at booth 1438 or something like that.
1341.
1361. I think 1362. Well, you'll see the big white plywood stick figure.
You'll recognize our longbows. booth 1492.
Yes.
We'll be the we have big dicks.
What?
I don't know. I was saying, didn't Christopher Columbus have a big dick?
I've heard that, I'm aware of.
I don't know why I've heard that.
Basically, if you go see Penny Arcade, which you will be able to find, and then you turn around and you happen to be in between us and Penny Arcade, you'll see us. And you can come over and say, hi, people who aren't actually the guys who work on Kingdom of Loathing, because we always hide.
Yep.
Although Kevin might be there. Kevin works the booth a lot.
Yep.
Yeah,
You might meet Emily of Video Games Taco repute.
Yeah,
Jenny or Melissa. Yeah, those the gals work the booth more than we do.
Exactly.
So yeah, come see us at Comic-Con, I guess, is another way of asking us a listener's mail. Although I don't even know, maybe hand us a post-it note and then I'll put it in my pocket. But I hope I don't put it in my garbage pocket because then it will get thrown away. Good show.
Yeah.
Up until this last part, I guess. Thanks. Cock and balls.
Talk to you later.
Have a great week, everybody.
I'm just going to boop and then ask you how to get a hold of us.
Okay.
Boop. Boop. Boop.
More RAM in your dick?